Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince for another episode of Uncomfortable. And Vince and I were just really kind of chuckling here, having a flashback down memory lane. And we're talking about how, you know, our kids are listening to some music that reminds us of the 80s, right around the time when we were kids ourselves. And it's like flashback type of thing. You know, it's just hilarious how things kind of come back around. Now, tonight on our episode, we really want to talk about pressing in the midst of the storm. So pressing into the presence of God, even in the midst of the thick of the stress, the anxiety, the heartache, whatever that storm is for you, pressing into the presence of God, how does that look? What can we do to make sure that we maintain our relationship and keep our focus on the vision that God has given for us? I mean, Vince, I can't think of how many times in my life, and this ties right back into how we opened this episode up about flashbacks. How many times have I gone through a storm and been pushed into a situation where I got so busy, where it was so easy to get distracted? I mean, it's almost like a reoccurrence in the Matrix. You would think it's like where they rewrite the Matrix code, right? And you'd have the deja vu, because it's like the devil's oldest play in the playbook. He's like, how can I get Vince or Kirk or whoever else, you know, distracted? I'm just going to flip it back, and I'm going to get them so busy. I'm going to get them so distracted with, you know, grief, or I'm getting so distracted by work. I'm going to get them so distracted by being too busy in the middle of their ministry to where they're not effective. You know, there's so many different ways that this thing can manifest itself, but it's always the same thing. It's a chaotic storm. You know, and I hate to give it like a demonic name to everything, but if there was a little demon, its name would be chaos. And it would be creating a chaotic storm in your mind and in your life to try to overwhelm and distract you, so that you can't think, process, or understand where you're going, and to where you get so distracted that you're not paying attention to the vision that God's given you. Now, Vince, you mentioned something about, you were about to talk about this topic as we were presenting it, as you and I were chatting about what to talk about, and I presented the idea to you. You were like, man, Kirk, I was about to have a class on this at school, so talk to me about this, man. I'm sure you've got a plethora of resources that you're about to dump on your class there in Bible school.
It's funny because the last few weeks I've been addressing certain aspects of things like this.
Right.
Talking about overcoming and dealing with adversity, challenges, trials, even stumbling blocks.
Right.
And that not all stumbling blocks are from the enemy. Some of them are self-inflicted.
Man, I can't count how many times I've had those.
And then this week we're going to be talking about overcoming and dealing with grief even while you are still having to minister. But one of the aspects of that we'll address has to do with not just grief from losing someone, but from losing something, or like, you know, a divorce or, you know, some sort of financial hardship that really like destroys your life or something like that. So there's a grief, like lifestyle or something like that.
Let's also don't exclude ministers in this, because it could be you lost your ministry. Maybe there was a massive division in your church and you lost your ministry. I mean,
that's also a grieving process.
Exactly. Because it's like something was ripped from you, something that you love and that you bled for.
No, I agree. You know, when you talked about this one, I was like, you know, I don't know that I want to talk about this, because just Saturday night at church, we were talking about how to deal with things in the middle of the storm and keep pressing, right? It's funny. And like I said to you before we got on here, not every storm is demonically inflicted. Sometimes a storm is just a storm. It's a typical storm of life that happens to everybody. It's a storm that inevitably every person goes through. Some of it's not demonically charged. Will the enemy laugh at you and kick you if you fall down? Sure, he'll try to, but I mean, Jesus slept in the middle of a storm in the middle of the lake. And wouldn't have woke up. It would have been fine. Wouldn't have woke up if they wouldn't have freaked out. I can't say I wouldn't have freaked out. I would have been freaking out too, be like, Jesus, hold up. Why are you sleeping? We got water coming in the boat.
You know, I agree with you, brother. I mean, it's very hard not to get into the natural thinking when you live in flesh and blood and you experience the world around you.
Yeah, like what do you do when, how do you handle it when people who, and this is a question I posed to my class not too terribly long ago. How do you handle it when people who say they love you and support you and all that at ministry and things, and then all of a sudden, because you're continuing to do what God wants you to do and they don't want you to go in that direction, they're like, that's not God. And now, you're having to go with these people who previously loved you are now, maybe they still love you, but now they're standing against you. They're saying things about you. They're saying things that are not true about you at all.
Right, and it could just be because God's called you to do something that makes them uncomfortable.
Right.
It could be that they want you where they are so that you can pour into their ministry. And, you know, they're wanting to take advantage of the gifting that you have. And I'm not saying that they have ill intent. They may, in their mind, think that everything's all good, right? But the reality is sometimes even the best intentioned people become a little selfish because they become so focused and consumed with their own vision that they don't see where God is leading others around them. Now, there are times where they'll say, okay, it's not your season. And the person that's being told that in their heart, they know it's not their season, but their passion says yes. And because
Yeah.
their passion says yes, they drive so hard to try to get there that they're going before they're ready. So there's a balance there.
That happened to me recently. I was asked to consider doing an outreach, leading an outreach somewhere. And man, I tell you what, I was so excited to do it. My heart was so excited. I was like, yes, this is it. This is the Lord. This is what I want to do. And something just felt conflicted inside of me. And I'm like, why can't I just nail down a solid yes without any conflict in my spirit? And I'm like, something doesn't feel like it's at peace, right? I mean, you should always in the storm, should always follow the peace of God. He'll always lead you through the storm. And that's one of the things you can use to get through. But I say that in using this lesson is just something didn't feel like it was at peace. So I asked him for a couple of days to pray over it, and I said, "Yeah, sure." I got to that Friday, and they're like, "We just need to know by Monday morning." And I was like, "Oh no!" I had told him, I said, "I just need the weekend. I'm really sorry. I'm not going to hold it up beyond Monday. I'll give you an answer one way or another." And they said, "That's fine. We just need to know by exit time Monday morning." And I said, "Okay, great. I'll let you know." And man, I went through the whole weekend and I could not shake it. Couldn't shake it, couldn't shake it. And then finally it clicked. I had been asking the Lord to confirm, confirm, confirm. You know, sometimes they say you're doing the right thing, but you're asking the wrong question.
Man, you know
I was like, "Lord, why do I feel
that,
like this is a yes for me, but
yeah.
something feels conflicted?" He said, "You're not asking the right question. I do want you to do this, but you're not asking the right question." I said, "Is it the right time for me to do this, Lord?" And he said, "No, it's not the right time." And I said, "Oh, okay, that makes so
That
much
is
sense."
such a difficult thing, Vince. I
After
mean,
that, I was at so much peace. It was great.
nobody wants to admit when they have one of those moments.
No, because I wanted to do it. It would have been great.
I mean, we all want to say, no, I'm perfect. No, everything's perfect always. And the reality is that so many times we screw up. I mean, we really do. We mess up and we don't make the right decisions. But the grace of God is sufficient for all of our needs. even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of facing the trouble that's been hounding us, that's been really distracting us and causing us to spin out like we're stuck in mud, you know?
Right.
But the reality is if we press into the presence of God, the word says that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Now, I think I've said this on the show before. You know, I like to use the illustration that, you know, God's like a tree that's planted by the water. He's like the huge oak, the ancient one, right? His roots go deep and they go wide, and he doesn't move. So if anybody moves from the shade that he provides to give us shade and comfort and protection, it's us. Because he's faithful, he's steadfast, right? So the reality is that as we draw near to him, the nature is that he does draw near to us because we're coming closer to the proximity of where he is. He's not going to move away. He's steadfast. He's rock solid. He's like the mountain. You know, he's firm. He's strong. Yeah. He's not easily affected by anything around him. And the reality is even in the midst of the storm, God still stands. He's still strong, and he's still there for you. Even when you feel overwhelmed and you feel overcome and you feel beat down, the reality is God is like, I have more than enough provision. I have more than enough. All you need to do is press in, even in the discomfort of the uncomfortable situation. And as you do, I will fill your cup with peace. But you have to come to me. And that's the hardest thing to do. Because when we're in the midst of that storm, a lot of times we're so overwhelmed that we have a hard time pressing in. We have a hard time getting beyond ourselves. Why? Because it's about self, right? And I know I'm being a little uncomfortable in the way I'm using my analogies, but I'm just speaking real. I'm speaking like if I'm talking to myself. You know, the reality is that sometimes it's not about self. It's not about ourselves. It's about how we need to get over ourselves so that we can reconnect with our Creator so that he can break through the barriers in our life that's causing the stress, causing the heartache, causing this division, and allow him to rebuild and reconstruct the array of our heart.
Yeah. It's got me looking and digging as we're talking. I'm looking at something and it made me think, and I had to go look it up exactly where it was, but it's in, of course, Romans 8, one of the most famous chapters, but that Paul put out. And in 35, he asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he says, will it be tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or the sword, right? And in trying to get their attention and be like, hey, what is there that can separate you from the love of God or separate us from Christ, from the love of Christ? There's nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, it goes on and it goes through everything else, you know, neither death nor life nor angels, so on and so forth. But it ends in 39 where it says nothing will be able, basically nothing, none of the things that he's mentioned for two or three verses will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God. Mm. So when we're struggling and we're going through these hardships and we're having these times where we feel utterly and completely alone, which is something I talked about in the class too, the difference between being alone and loneliness. And maybe we could even do a whole thing on that one time too, but I don't know if that one would be a hard one. But and the fact that sometimes God calls us to be alone for a season, and not being alone doesn't mean that we don't have anyone around us. It just means that we're spending the majority of our time with him, like you said, that he has to be the one that we're turning to, the one that we're spending the majority of our time with. So things like that are,
oh yeah,
are definitely, it's all part of growth and changing and knowing that if we're really going to do this thing called the Christian life, you have to be prepared to surrender yourself. And matter of fact, one of the things we talked about on Saturday was there are times where God may ask of you to do something that none of us that have experienced this
Right.
like to ask, and that is ask God to purify us and to cleanse us and to send his fire to purify our lives. That, for those of us who understand, and me even making that statement, for those of you out there that have done this and know this and understand this, you just shuddered a little bit and winced like, oh, that hurts so bad. But and it does, but the Lord has shared and said that there's to me, when I was hesitant to ask that before, he said, I can't bring you any further unless you are purified. You can't get closer without becoming clean.
That's real, because you can't use gold to create a wonderful pendant. To
Nope.
sell, if you don't put it through the fire to get rid of the dross, to get rid of the impurities. A diamond, no one's going to take a lump of coal, right? I mean, unless you want to heat your house or cook a brisket. But
That's true.
the reality is if you're wanting it for decoration or jewelry, you're not getting it as a piece of coal. You're going to actually wait for it to go through the heat and the pressure to turn it into a diamond. And then, even then, you're going to wait for the jeweler to get it, to cut it, polish it, and be made right. So the whole process that it's going to go through before it's even ready to be put on display. So how is it that we, as believers of the King, believe that we can just by chance say, oh, I'm ready, I'm presentable, and we still look like a lump of coal because we're still exhibiting all these unsaved attributes? We're not even representing our King like an ambassador, because we're still carrying ourselves like a second-rate citizen. And yet
Ooh.
he's sitting here saying, I'm waiting for you to step up to the plate. And I'm not trying to be ugly, because I've been in these situations myself. I mean, there's been moments where I have not carried myself as the King wanted me to be. And there's been moments where the Holy Spirit's had to get very raw with me and say, son, when are you going to step up? When are you going to come to, come bring it to the plate? When are you going to get out here and get to business
Right.
and stop allowing all the distractions and all these other things to consume you and allow yourself to be consumed with me and my kingdom?
Yeah.
But the reality is that as humans, it's very, very easy for us to allow the discomfort to prohibit us from moving forward because it's uncomfortable.
Right. I mean, it, so there's a couple of things that I think you and I have kind of said to them in the midst of other things we said. But another piece that really, again, we don't like to hear, and this is uncomfortable and it hurts our feelings, we read it and we're like, yes, that's right, but we don't really like to walk it out because it hurts. And that's in James, where he says, you know where I'm going, count it all joy
Oh man.
when you fall into various
Oh,
trials
it's
and
like that
testing.
dagger.
Yeah. Because what does it produce? It produces faith and endurance, right? I mean, look, it is a painful thing. And the truth of the matter is every storm we go through, it's either some sort of trial or challenge or something that's meant to either purify us or destroy us, depends on who it comes from. So I
And we
think,
have the choice, though, in any of those things. Or how are we going to respond? How are we going
right.
to react to the person, the situation, the scenario? Are we going to be a ambassador and respond the way that God would want us to respond? Or are we going to just give into the flesh, go into the path of least resistance, and only respond like others around us do, or fill in the blank? But the reality is we have that choice. We have the ability to pick righteousness, to pick God's way. But sometimes we have to allow some discomfort, the uncomfortableness of fighting our own self. I'll just be real. You and I have talked a little bit offline about how my job has been extremely busy lately.
Yeah.
And it's created a lot of discomfort for me trying to get in the presence, trying to really seek the face of the Lord because of the lack of time. Now, we all have choices. It's real easy when you get home after working 10 plus hours to say, I'm tired and I don't want to do anything else. You know, but, and you want to decompress, you'll find ways to decompress because of the stress of the job, especially when it's a high stress job. Well, the reality is I still had the choice to choose, am I going to spend a little time, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever, in the presence of the Lord, eat and supplement some of that quality time that I used to have that was just one-on-one, because I've been doing most of my time driving, praying while I drive. And you know, like I do, Vince, in Dallas-Fort Worth, trying to drive and have a concentration on anything, you can't. I mean, it's like, the phone with somebody, I immediately apologize to them up front. I'll tell them, say, guys, or Vince or whoever, if I stop talking, it's because I'm paying attention to traffic.
Yeah.
Because traffic is the number one thing you have to pay attention to, especially in a big city. You really should do it anywhere. But if you're in a big city, it needs to be your number one priority if you're driving. Everything else is secondary. Your number one priority is to make sure that yourself and those around you are safe. So if you can't do that, please, public service announcement, hang up your phone.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is during that this last season that I've been in, I've been doing most of my praying as I've been driving. Well, the uncomfortable rub of the matter is I really should have come home. And even before I go to the gym or anything else, I should have said, you know what? I got 15 minutes minimum, 15, 20 minutes minimum that I need to spend just praying and in the Word. I should have just said, I need to cut this time out and just dedicate this no matter what. But it's uncomfortable after you've had a high stress, high demand day, and you have what you perceive as very little time, and it's easy to make excuses. Now, I'm being very transparent because I don't want y'all to think that I'm trying to be too harsh with everyone else. Because to me, if I'm pointing at someone else, I'm pointing probably four fingers back at myself. Because I've been there, I've done that, I've got the t-shirt, and I'm trying to help you, our listeners, to not go through the same struggles or through the same lessons that Vince and I have gone through. I want you to go through some of these uncomfortable situations with us so that you can learn. And instead of you just kind of going through it with us, I want you to take and say, hey, I see the experiences that these guys have gone through, and I'm going to overcome. I'm going to do better. That's what I want. If you do better and you go beyond where we are, my job has been successful.
Please do better. Please do better than us. I'm not saying that we're horrible at everything or anything, but I mean, that's kind of the goal, and that should always be the goal, especially as you get older in the faith. Your goal, and even in your life, your goal should always be that those who come after you should be able to go further than you at a younger stage in life than you do.
Well, I think one of the biggest travesties in the world, Vince, is when you have ministers that do not want people to excel beyond them.
That's such a...
It's an epidemic, but it's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Because to me, if you're successful as a leader, then all of those that come after you that you've mentored should way excel beyond who you are. You should be a speck in the dirt compared to how bright they shine. And that's the goal. We want you.
That's a bold statement, though, man.
It is. But even with my children, I actually have actively told my children, outshine me. Mm. Be better than me. Learn from me. Become a better version. Don't just be the 1.0. Don't just be the Kirk.2.0. You know, be the one that leaves me in the dust. Let my ceiling be your floor. And That's what every minister, and I'm speaking to my other pastors out there. If you are not lifting those up around you, not mentoring and pouring into them, pray and ask God to show you who you're supposed to be pouring into. We should all have at least 1 to 3 people that we're pouring into at all times. We should all be mentoring somebody in some form or fashion. And if we're too busy to where we can't, we need to reevaluate our lives, because it's not an option, it's a calling. And that's not a calling just for pastors. The word says that when Jesus ascended to heaven, that he spoke to all 287, I believe it was, 200, and that was at least 200 people. I think it was like 287 people at the Mount. He goes, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Tell them the good news. He didn't just say pastors and apostles, preachers, evangelists, and prophets. No, he didn't do that. He told everyone present, go and preach the good news that all the world be saved. So we all are supposed to be raising up people. Pastors, especially you other ministers, your job is to raise up the next generation to replace you. And I know it's not fun to think of it that way, but our job is to raise up our replacements. We're supposed to be like those people in the business world that train up their replacements. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be actively raising people up to become exactly what we are and even better.
I do not disagree in any way, shape, or form with that statement. I completely reflect that statement. That is my endorsement to what you just said. No, I feel like, you know, we get things so weird and different in the church. We try to make it so much more like a business and like the world. And although there are business aspects to even running a church or another parachurch ministry or something like that, you know, the back office is business, and that makes sense. You've got to handle it properly and in order. But even in that aspect, you should still be looking at it as everyone gets trained, everyone gets poured into, everyone that's there should be able to go further than where I am. And to do anything otherwise shows that you're being led by your own insecurities. And I'm not trying to be mean by that statement, but it's a true statement. You know, it's
I love it.
I'm sure that hurt some feelings and it was uncomfortable to hear, but I mean, that's the name of the show. I can't do nothing else but follow the rules of the show, right?
Hey, the reality is we've all allowed insecurities to rule us at some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But there's a certain point in life and in ministry we got to put on our big boy pants and say, I can't float through life. I can't just expect everything's just going to come to me. And I have to plan for legacy for my church, my ministry, my family, for the world around me. And as part of that, we have to begin to imagine and begin to co-labor in our dream world with the Lord. And what I mean by that is allow the Lord to put his vision in your heart and dream with him. What does his vision look like? We know he wants the world saved. Okay, God, how does that look? Well, my neighbor doesn't know Jesus. Oh, okay. So if my neighbor doesn't love Jesus, know Jesus and doesn't love him, then how do I reach him? And begin to dream through that thing. Go through the process. Begin to start working through it actively in your mind. It doesn't mean you have to work it out all in detail, but if you don't think about it and consider it, how are you going to ever make any actions on it? We've got to be intentional with our faith, with loving our neighbor, with pursuing, you know, the purpose of God in our lives. And the only way that we're going to be able, you know, to wrap this back into what we were originally talking about, the only way we're going to be able to press this back to pressing in the midst of the storm is if we're intentional with our time.
Yeah.
Because if we're not intentional with our time and we're not intentional with the way that we interact with others, there's no way that we're going to be able to be successful, that we're going to be able to be an ambassador, and that we're going to be able to move beyond the stress, anxiety, and overwhelming whatever, loneliness, whatever it is, if you don't press in with intentionality, even when it's not comfortable, or even like when I was mentioning to y'all earlier, even when it's not convenient because you are so busy because of life and work and family and everything else that's going on around you. We have to be super intentional to be successful in the kingdom.
Yeah. No, the other aspect of it too, is we got to understand that there's something, and this is an easier said than done statement. There is something on the other end, you know, there's, although sometimes I've seen it slow down, I've never seen a hurricane stop. I grew up in around the Gulf, and I was going to say Gulf of Mexico. Now, you know, they're calling it the Gulf of America now. So I'm just going to call it the Gulf because that was what I grew up calling it. But
well, there you go, trying to be all politically correct now, Vance.
No, actually, it feels weird to say it the other way, the new way.
Just messing with you.
I've said the one for 40 something years of my life. So, no, but I've never seen a hurricane just stop. They always end up going through. Now, sometimes it goes slow, sometimes it takes a longer time, and sometimes they're violent and they leave utter destruction in their wake. But they always, that storm will always blow through. It never stays. And like, just like that physical storm, we may go through storms in our life where they get really hard and they seem to be going really slow, and it seems like there's just destruction everywhere. And like, this is never going to end, but eventually it will. And then on the other side are things, let's go back to what I said with James. On the other side, where it says that through it, faith produces endurance. So you gain endurance, which leads to spiritual maturity, which leads to peace, which leads to actually a stronger faith, and your faith being perfected, lacking nothing. I mean, nobody likes to go through the process of gaining endurance.
Oh, that's not.
But there's only one way to gain endurance.
Oh man, now you're gonna start talking about exercise again. Come on now.
No, I really wasn't. I was just gonna talk about running, but you know,
that's exercise. And I knew where you're going with that, because you know I love to go to the gym, but running is not something that I have ever loved. Well, I started loving it whenever I became a project manager, and then I realized that it was a very good stress relief, and that's why I started to love it. But the activity, the actual action of running, is not my favorite thing. I do it because I know I need to. You know, but you're exactly right. The process of endurance is you're pushing yourself continuously on a regular basis so that you begin to build up endurance. And every day you push yourself an extra minute to 2 minutes to 3 minutes to 5 minutes to 10 minutes. The next thing you know, you're at, you know, an extra 45 minutes to an hour. It's a process. And then you learn that you got to pace yourself, right? As you do your endurance, that you have to pace yourself as you get there. And the same thing is when you get to be a little bit older, you realize you got to do the same thing as you weightlift. You could go right back in like when you were in your 15, 20, maybe early 30s and just jump into it. But you're going to pay the price.
I've had to do that.
But if you go back in and you want to be serious about it, you need to start out light, start out easy, you know, so that you don't hurt yourself and injure your progress. And I think in the same way, sometimes, especially in the faith, people hear some of these people with these big mega names. I'm not going to mention anyone because everyone's got a beef with somebody and I don't need to start that drama. But the reality is people start comparing themselves to a lot of these big name ministers, and they're like, well, so-and-so prays an hour a day. So-and-so prays 7 hours a day. So-and-so prays 15 minutes every 30 minutes. You know what? Get consistent in something, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then let the Holy Spirit build you up from there.
Right.
You know, don't worry about what big name minister from XYZ state or country says. You get in the presence of the Lord, begin to spend time with the King, allow him to transform you with the renewing of your mind through the reading of his word, you know, cleansing your heart and soul. And as he makes that transformation, he will begin to do a work in you, and he'll guide you into what he needs you to do to help enrich you, your spirit, and your soul. You know, when we start putting a formula on these things, it becomes almost like we're trying to fabricate something. And God's not something we fabricate. It's a relationship. You know, sometimes Vince and I speak several times a week. Other times we may not speak except on the days that we record.
Mm-hmm.
But we have enough history together to where we can easily pick right back up.
Right.
But if we never talk to each other, then it's going to get a little uncomfortable because we're going to be like, dude, this dude's a stranger, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's even the same with people that you've known for a really long time, is that you might go from talking all the time to talking every so many months to maybe only talking a couple times a year. And every time you talk to them, it's almost like no time has passed. You're picking up and talking where you left off because you've got so much history together. You know each other's mannerisms well that it just, it's easy to pick it up and act like nothing's different. And it's the same, like you were saying, it's the same thing with us and the Lord. The more time you spend with them, the easier it is to be able to know who he is and to know what is okay and what is not okay. I mean, we're being led in a lot of cases. We're being led by a bunch of people who, and I mentioned this Saturday, we're being led by traditions from our church, not actual biblical principles. And it's that somebody heard a really good teaching and it made them think of this thing. And so they came up with this saying or this thing. And then that got ingrained in their preaching. And then other people heard it. And then it got ingrained to their state, to what they would say whenever they were out, and so on and so on and so on. And then 20 years later, it's considered Bible doctrine, but it's nowhere in the Bible. It's just a nice little Christianese saying that makes us feel good about ourselves. And
there's a couple of them that come off the top of my head.
Yeah. There's one big one that comes off the top of my head that I got confronted on last year. And I'm grateful. Like at the time I was like, wait, excuse me, hold up. I'm going to prove you wrong. You know, that pride kicks in the moment, but it was shortly thereafter when I read it and realized, wow, I'm off. And so I had to go back and be like, Lord, listen, I need you to teach me and figure this thing out. What happened? Where did I go wrong on that? So we do it all the time. And then we say other things so much that it loses the actual power it really has. That is actual biblical principles.
Oh, yeah.
And we've made it into a cliche.
Oh, yeah. We got to be real careful about that, Vince. We've got to be careful not to allow our life to become a cliche. As we begin to pursue the King of Kings, we got to make sure that we press into the presence of God so that we are intimate with his voice, so that we can reflect his character, and so that we can be led into the vision that he has for our life. Now, guys, we really want to hear from you. We want you to send us an email at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org because we want to know your prayer request, your show ideas, and especially if you're a preacher or a minister we want to hear from you so that we can join you in prayer and we can pray for your outreach, your missions trip, whatever it is. We want to join in prayer with you. If you would like to support the show, you can also do that at mooseministries.org/give. Guys, y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.
See y'all later.